We're glad to be here again from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just off Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station. And we meet on the Lord's Day, Sunday, at 11 a.m. and again 6:30 p.m. We'd love to see you come along. You would be made most welcome. We meet also on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Please feel free to come along, where you'll hear something about Jesus Christ, about the gospel. What is life all about, friends? What is it all about? Here we are, we're born into this world. We didn't make this world, we were born into it. Born as babies, helpless babies, we grow up. We go to school, we get educated, become teenagers, maybe get a higher education. Go on then to find a job, maybe get married, have children, have grandchildren. Buy houses, homes, holidays, all kinds of things. But before we know where we are, we're old age pensioners. And by natural generation, we're beginning to wonder, what's going to happen to me? Where am I going? What's life all about? Is life simply eating and drinking? Is there no more to life than that? Is there another perspective? Sadly today, the dominant philosophy and worldview is there is no real point or purpose in life. That's really what the atheist would say. That's what the evolutionist would say. There's no point. There's no meaning. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. There's no God. There's no eternity. There's nothing to worry about. Simply live your life today. Do the best you can. Enjoy life as much as you can. Amass as much as this world can give you. Enjoy life. Soon you will go the way of all the earth and it's all over. That is principally, in very simple terms, the dominant doctrine, philosophy, teaching of the world. But that is totally contrary to what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that we're made in the image of God. The Bible teaches us that God made all things. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We have to admit that what the evolutionist teaches is really incredible. What does he teach? He teaches that everything that you can see, everything around here, everything has come from nothing. That's what he teaches. Now, I remember my days in primary school as I studied elementary arithmetic. And I'm sure you do too. And as you study arithmetic, you were told 10 times nothing is nothing. 100 times nothing is nothing. 10 billion times nothing is nothing. And that would teach us, rightly, that you'll get nothing from nothing. Nothing can come from nothing. Yet, the evolutionist will tell us that everything came from nothing. Everything that we can see came from nothing. Now, friends, we don't want to be unkind to anyone. But we would ask you, is that not ridiculous? Nothing comes from nothing. You got a smartwatch. You got a camera. You got a television. You got a motor car. Everything came from something. Your television didn't suddenly arrive. Somebody made it. Somebody designed it. So it is with creation. Creation tells us there is a creator. There's a major difficulty right before the atheist. It is creation. It is the order and the beauty of creation. How everything works together. Because the Bible would teach us that God made the world for mankind. God created mankind on the sixth day, after everything else had been created. In other words, the environment was created for man. And man did not come out of nothing. The world did not come by chance. It came by a creator. It came through the designer. There is a purpose. There's a purpose in the creation. There's a purpose in life. There's a purpose in your life. What is that purpose? The purpose is that you might know and love and serve the Lord your God. That's the purpose. The shorter catechism that some of you might be familiar with, it tells us the first question, what is the chief end of man? What is the purpose of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. There is a purpose, a real purpose in life. And friends, the only way that we can fulfill that purpose is by having the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because by nature we are sinners. And we don't like to hear that, but we must hear the truth. If we're ever to appreciate and delight in what Christ has done, we must know our plight, we must know our condition, we must know that in of ourselves we are lost, we are perishing, we are without hope, without God in this world. But through what Christ has done, we have been reconciled to God. That is those who put their faith and trust upon the Lord Jesus. And it is Him that gives to us purpose and meaning. Is it not true, friends, that many people today look upon life with no purpose? They think there's no purpose in life, but there is. And it is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be reconciled to God through what He has done on Calvary's tree. In 1 John chapter 5, that's in the Bible, in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Christ came to give us life. I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. That's what He says to us in John chapter 10. I have come that you might have life. I have come that you might have life in all its fullness. Today, friends, by nature, all we have is physical life. And everyone round about me here, we all have physical life. We move, we run, we think, we act, we eat, we drink, we sleep. All the things that characterize physical life, we all do. But there's more to life than simply physical life. There is such a thing as spiritual life. And what is that? Spiritual life is to know the Lord our God. Spiritual life is to love Him. Spiritual life is to serve the Lord our God. And we can only do that when the Lord Jesus Christ saves us, when He gives us new life. And of course, friend, as I read there earlier, there is such a thing as eternal life. Eternal life. This is maybe difficult for us to comprehend because we know all lives that we know come to an end. But the Bible tells us we can know eternal life. A life that will never come to an end. All of us by nature, no doubt, unless the Lord returns, shall die. But even those who believe upon the Lord Jesus, they will not truly die. They will not die completely because they will know and experience eternal life. This is a faithful sign and worthy of acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. That's what the Apostle Paul said. And he's telling us there something about the work of the Lord Jesus, that he has come into this world to save sinners. He's come into this world to save sinners like you and I. How does he do that? Well, first of all, he had to go to the cross. First of all, he had to pay the price of sin. He had to pay the price that was laid down. He had to offer up himself, a perfect sacrifice of himself, in order to satisfy God's just demands. That's what he had to do. You see, mankind broke God's law. And because mankind broke God's law, someone had to fulfill it on their behalf. And because mankind broke God's law, mankind deserves to pay the penalty of breaking that law. And that's what Jesus did when he suffered and died. He both kept the law and he paid the penalty. And that righteousness, that work of Christ, is imputed to us if we believe upon him. That's what is required to be saved. It is to believe upon the Lord Jesus. Not simply in a historical figure, like we believe in Pontius Pilate, or like that we believe in Julius Caesar, or like that we believe in Napoleon, or Winston Churchill. We believe these were real historical characters, but believing on Christ in that way will never save us. It's something more that's required. What is it? We must trust upon Christ. We must believe in his work. We must recognize that he is God's appointed mediator and savior for mankind. It is to trust upon him. That's what we must do. And that's why we're here this afternoon, to tell you something about this person. To tell you that you must believe upon him. That you need to believe upon him. Why do you need to believe upon him? You need to believe upon him because you're a sinner. A sinner in the sight of God. There is none righteous. No, not one, the Bible says. None. Doesn't matter how religious we may be. Doesn't matter how many times we read our Bibles. Doesn't matter how many times we go to Mass. It doesn't matter how many times we go to confession. It doesn't matter how much money we might give to the church or to charities. It doesn't matter all of these things. The Bible's verdict upon your life and upon my life is, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's God's perfect judgment. And it's important that we realize it's God's judgment. It is God that we shall be judged before. The Bible tells us, friends, for we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether they be good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why we're here today, to tell you about this awesome truth, that you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ with all humanity, and you will individually appear before Jesus, and you will give account. You will give account of the things you've thought. You will give account of the things that you've said. You will give account for your actions. God is one who is omniscient. That is, he knows all things. He won't need to investigate. Your life is an open book. He can discern your thoughts. He knows your motives. He knows your intentions. He sees your actions even before you perform your actions. You need to be saved. How can you be saved? You must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His great name that He has been given. Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." This is the name that the Lord Jesus wants to be known as a Savior. This is why He came into this world, to save people. To save people, sinners, who cannot save themselves. This indeed is another fundamental truth that we find in Christianity that's so different from all other religions. What is it? It is this truth that we cannot save ourselves. It's impossible. We don't have the desire. We don't have the will. We don't have the power. We cannot do it. That's why Christ, the Son of God, had to come to this world and become like us. Just like us. Sin only accepted. In order that He might save us. And He is unique. Absolutely unique. Again, another fundamental doctrine that separates Christianity from all the other religions of this world. Christ alone can save. Only Christ can save. What does He say Himself? "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." No one is reconciled to God except through Christ. Jesus is the eternally begotten Son of God, the only one who can save us, the one who was despised and forsaken, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, a man who was crucified, but He went to the cross willingly, voluntarily, and as the nails were being put through His hands and His feet, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can you imagine it? There Christ, as He was being crucified by His enemies, what does He say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Maybe that's what you need to hear yourself today. Maybe you need to hear this joyful news that Christ came to forgive. Christ came to forgive sinners. Christ came to forgive your sins. Maybe this is what you need to hear because you're burdened. Your conscience is troubled. You know that you're not right with God. You know there is some problem. Maybe you can't articulate it. Maybe you really don't understand it, but you know deep down in your own heart, in your quiet moments, maybe when you're in bed at night, when you think about things, you know that you're not right with God. And that you know that if you were to pass into eternity, you would have no peace. What can you do? Friends, here's the glorious message of the gospel. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world in order that your sins would be forgiven. He did something. He took the punishment that belongs to His people. And He gives to His people, those who believe upon Him. What does He give them? He gives them His righteousness. Therefore, as the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Is this not what you long for? You don't really have peace. You don't have a peaceful conscience. Your conscience does trouble you. Maybe not all the time, but it does. Because you know that you're accountable and you're answerable to God. Well, Jesus tells us, "Come. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light." What is Jesus saying there? He is telling us, come unto Him. Cast all your cares. Cast all your sins. Cast everything upon Christ. Cast it all and take up His yoke. Take up His burden. What is that? That is to follow Him. That is to be identified with Him. That is to take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus. That's what He demands of you. Give Him all your sin. Give Him everything. And He will give you His yoke. And He will give you peace. And He will cleanse you. And He will give you the gift of eternal life. And He will prepare you for glory. Did He not say to His own disciples before He went off to be crucified, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye shall be also. What wonderful comforting words He gave to His disciples hours before He Himself was going to be cruelly beaten and tried and crucified. He says, let not your heart be troubled. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we strip away the bravado that we might have, we're troubled on many occasions. And what is the main thing that causes so much trouble and heartache? It is the fact that we're not right with God. Well, friends, in the gospel, in Christianity, in through what Christ has done, we have this assurance that we can be reconciled to God. The gospel is a gospel of reconciliation. We are estranged from God by nature because of our sin. God is a holy God. And He cannot look upon sin. Thou art of purer eyes to behold evil and canst not look upon iniquity. That's how the prophet described the great God of heaven. And because we are sinners, friends, there is a gulf, there's a gap between God and us. But through Christ that gap has been bridged. And we are urged to avail ourselves of this reconciliation. And friends, this is the day of grace. This is the day when we proclaim the gospel. This is the day when we urge you to lay hold on Christ, to call upon Him, to delight in what God has provided, this glorious salvation, which means deliverance, freedom. This is what we find in the gospel, freedom to live our lives as we should, without the guilt of sin, without sin, without its power handicapping our lives, and ultimately in glory, to be free from the very presence of sin itself. I fear your greatest problem is that you don't appreciate and you don't grasp or understand your sinfulness before a holy God. God is holy, pure. He dwells in light, unapproachable. In some sense, His holiness is burning. And we, by nature, are completely and utterly different. We are sinful. Sinful at conception. Sinful from birth. Sinful through all our earthly existence. And the only way that we can be accepted in the sight of God is to have our sins forgiven. And no minister of the gospel can do that. No priest, no cardinal, no archbishop, no pope, no confession, no mass. Nothing can take away your sins. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can. And that only happens when you call upon Him. Call upon Him. That's what He tells us to do. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, you'll find it in your Bibles, this Bible that you've got back home that you hardly ever read. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did you hear that opening words? There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. None whatsoever. Our conscience is clear. We have been justified by faith. We now have peace with God through what Christ has done. Therefore, there's no condemnation awaiting the Christian. But that cannot be said for everyone. And this is why it's so important that you hear the gospel, that you hear the authentic gospel. That in of ourselves, left to ourselves, we will be condemned. We will be condemned. But there is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who have Him as their Lord and Savior. For those who trust upon Him, there is no condemnation. Would you not like to know this no condemnation? Would you not like to know the truth and reality of that? No condemnation. This is what we find in the gospel. This is what we find only in the gospel. This is what we find only in Christ. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave His life for ransom for all, to be testified in due time. That's why we're here this afternoon, to bring to your attention something of this person. For salvation is found in no other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other religion, no other Savior, no other way, only one God, only one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. Come therefore, avail yourself of Him. He is freely offered to you. He bids you to come to Him. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what He says. Look unto Me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. He alone is the Savior. And He saves to the absolute uttermost. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. And whosoever cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out, is what Jesus says. May the Lord be pleased to bless His word to you this afternoon. We're going to draw our time to a close. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing. And it's been a pleasure to be in the street to tell you something of Christ and of His work and of His glorious person. May the Lord bless His word to you.